Hi, thanks for listening to the Vigilance Press, Vigilance Cast. Now, this is Mike Lafferty. On today's podcast, we're going to be interviewing Dan Abnett, who, along with Andy Lanning, have revitalized the Nova character at Marvel Comics, along with Guardians of the Galaxy. So without further ado, let's get on with that podcast. Well, hey, let me thank you first off for making Nova a cool character again.
Thank you. We're doing our best.
No, I really appreciate it. I liked him for a long time back in the day, and I really wanted to see more space adventures with him. And last 3 years, you've really revitalized the character and just done amazing things there.
It's what we wanted to see done with him, really. We liked him very much and had often thought he would make a great, properly cosmic hero for Marvel. Particularly because he's got that context of being... obviously, he's a superhero, but with a costume that is a uniform and a role to play, there is an element of sort of SF credibility to him rather than just being a guy with superpowers.
Yeah, it almost seems like you and Geoff Johns are working along parallel paths there for a while.
Yeah, yes, I think that's a coincidence. Oh, that's just one of those things. We admire what Geoff's been up to enormously, but we've sort of almost tried to make sure that we. Go to great lengths to make sure that we don't do anything that people can just go, oh, they're just trying to do the same thing. It's ever so difficult there when you are doing characters that lend themselves to very similar types of story.
So I guess there's not going to be any chance in the future of a Green Lantern Nova Corps.
Well, that will be splendid. I'm not ruling anything out.
Okay. Now, let's kind of talk about what you've done, just for... maybe listeners who aren't, you know, fully aware of what you've been doing in Marvel Comics. Annihilation was that's sort of when I became aware of what you were doing.
Yeah.
Where we had the Phalanx coming and threatening the Marvel Universe, and we had Nova leading the charge against it with Quasar and Drax the Destroyer, and pretty much a who's who of everyone who's Marvel in comics, cosmic in Marvel.
Yeah.
And then Realm of Kings. Could you list off the miniseries that have kind of taken us over the last 3 years?
What we've tried to do is build up around a core of books, starting with Nova and then adding Guardians of the Galaxy to it, and then expanding out at regular intervals into those events. Like you say, Nova came out of the original Annihilation event, where all that happened was we were invited to do 4 issues of Nova as a miniseries within that. And that worked so well, we got the regular book, which took us to Conquest, as you say. And then out of Conquest, we got Guardians of the Galaxy. So we wanted to build upon what we were doing, but without outrunning what we were doing so that everything toppled over. We wanted to maintain a nice and tight control of things and not put out so much product that people went, oh, look, it's just yet another cosmic book. Yawn. And just try and get it to work up like that, so that we've been aiming for this coming event, the Thanos Imperative, but very very specifically, I think really it's sort of been our destination for quite a deliberate destination for quite a long time.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, you really have, you can, you know, looking back, you can see the steps where you've been kind of laying the foundation and bringing this to fruition. Just out of curiosity, how many times has Xanadar been destroyed now in comics continuity? Is it 3 or 4?
I think it's... I'm going to say 4, I think. Okay. But then again, how many times has Oa been destroyed and how many times has Blah?
Oh, you know,
like, it's one of those recurring motifs. I'm sure it'll be destroyed again.
It's one of those things. I appreciate you having the Nova Corps on a spaceship. I always thought that'd be kind of cool, as actually having a sci-fi element like that in Nova. Something like that. And tell us a little bit about the Thanos Imperative, since that's the new big hotness that's going on. What's going on there?
We wanted very much to do a story with Thanos. I mean, he is one of the great characters. Laying our cards on the table, we've always loved, Andy and I loved Jim Starlin's stories, and he's one of those characters that you sort of sooner or later you want to feature. We had also featured, as you said, characters like Nova, but pretty much who's who of a lot of cosmic characters, but hadn't, almost deliberately hadn't featured a few of the very biggest, like the Surfer, very much. You know, our headline characters tended to be Nova, who was coming to his own as a Premier Division cosmic hero, And characters like Star-Lord, who'd very much sort of fallen through the cracks, as you know, and was regarded as a bit of a misfit and a second stringer, I suppose. So with Thanos, this event, what we wanted to do was to sort of pick up on the things that we hadn't done yet. Keith Giffen, who'd been in charge of the Annihilation event, had done a brilliant job of killing Thanos. A fantastic job. I mean, it was a great, great story point. So one of the things we made sure we didn't want to do was to bring Thanos back so quickly as to spoil that, because it seemed just redundant if the character just comes back from... Like, all cosmic characters, most comic characters, come back from the dead on a regular basis, but we didn't want to do that in such a rushed way that it seemed just sort of over hasty. So we did want to build towards it, and that's what we've done. This is a big, big story that has been building towards that. We've actually confessed in a number of places that some of the oh-so-clever clues we've dropped along the way have been deliberately dropped as clues, but exactly what they've meant we've left malleable so that we can go back to them ourselves and decide exactly what they mean and exactly how they tie together. But even so, Thanos has been the destination of choice. He's come back from the dead, and we have a situation where the Marvel Universe is threatened by a parallel universe where, to put simply, life has won. The forces of life have won the battle. Death, it no longer exists. And all this sounds very sort of wonderful and positive. That's as bad as the equivalent. So this sort of undying force is coming through into our universe through the fault, which was the area of this hole in space-time that was blown during the end of the War of Kings. And our heroes are gathering together, banding together to fight it off. And Guardians of the Galaxy and Star-Lord have got Thanos, essentially, as a potential weapon to use in that fight.
Yeah, I remember I was reading a Nova 36 just last month, and it seemed a little almost Lovecraftian, the way you were casting the alternate universe.
Yes. I'd like to think that all the sort of groundwork has been laid in there before people realise the groundwork was being laid in. You know what I mean? It's you go back and if you can look at some of the earlier issues of Nova, some of the Realm of Kings stuffs, the Inhumans, that kind of stuff. That there is stuff going on there where you go, oh wait a minute, it's all there solidly put. And and in fact, almost from day one in Guardians, the main themes have been there. The stuff has been set up there.
I'd be admiss. I have a friend who's a great Dark Hawk fan, and I'm sure he's very, very grateful about you rehabilitating that character and bringing him back and giving him some stage time.
Yeah, it was. It seemed like the obvious thing to do. To be honest, we had storylines that lent themselves enormously to the idea of using Project Pegasus, and having taken Nova successfully and sort of given him a wash and brush up for the noughties, it seemed only fair to try and do the same thing for Darkhawk. Obviously with him, we're slightly more radical to where we took him in terms of the revelations about his past. I hope he didn't offend anybody too much, but I think it's quite interesting, and giving him a properly cosmic context I think was a fun thing to do.
I can't speak for other fans. I know I've kind of been waiting for some kind of background like that for that character for a long time, because it just seems like he would fit into that kind of context.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Hey, you're an old Warhammer 40K guy, huh?
Yes, and still am, indeed. A great deal of what I spend my time doing, indeed today, I've been working on Warhammer 40K. I write novels for Black Library. So that's a main strand of my occupation.
Excellent. Do you game much in that world?
I do. I don't get as much time to game as I'd like to, because mainly because I'm working so hard. In the last 9 years, I've written 36 novels for them.
Oh, good Lord.
On top of my Marvel work, which are now in 12 languages and have sold 1.5 million copies.
Well, so you...
Huge output of novel stuff. So I play everything to make sure I understand how it works. But I don't, if I actually spent my days playing in the sort of avid way I'd like to play, I'd never get any novels written.
So you've been writing Nova, Guardian of the Galaxies, various miniseries, and you've written 36 novels in the last 9 years?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
Are you on the Warren Ellis diet of cigarettes and Red Bull? How the hell do you manage that kind of pace?
I don't know. In fact, I think my body or something was trying to tell me something. Last year in September, I suddenly fell ill. I started getting seizures, which weren't very good.
Oh, jeez.
After about 2 months of considerable concern, it was undiagnosed and it could have been anything. It could have been something very, very nasty and quite terminal. They finally worked out, but it was, as they put it, just epilepsy. It was later.
Just epilepsy.
Yeah. So that in itself obviously needs some coping with, but it was a huge relief, and I've now reinvented my life to remove or reduce stress and to work sensible hours. I'm still working ridiculous amounts of time, but that was a nice way. Well, probably a useful wake up call to go, you know, do you know what? You know, just slow down a bit. There'll always be other things to do. So now I'm just picking and choosing slightly more about what I do. But I've always enjoyed working. I mean, I actually enjoy the physical process of sitting at a keyboard, so it's not hard to overwork.
Indeed. Well, I'm glad that turned out all right for you, or relatively all right as these things go. Yeah. But having heard how incredibly busy you are, I don't want to take up any more of your time.
That's fine.
Really appreciate you talking to me. If I have any more questions in the future, can I get back in touch with you?
Of course you can, yes, whatever you like.
Thanks a lot, Dan. You have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.